know what that sound means. It's another exciting installment of the Fan Brawl Season podcast, where we talk local sports, both the Atlanta Pro franchises, like the Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and we also talk the University of Georgia Bulldogs. So strap in, guys. It's another exciting episode about to start right now. What is up, podcast land? It is your host, Jamin Joe, the Fan for All Seasons podcast, episode 233 on the episode list. And on this week's show, we're going to be talking a ton of baseball, a lot of Atlanta Braves. The Braves have been playing really good baseball. They did, unfortunately, see their seven-game winning streak end earlier this afternoon with the Braves losing to the Washington Nationals 6-2. So we will be talking a lot of baseball this week on the show. I've got a very good guest slash co-host with me across the way. But before we get into the sports conversation with him, it's time to get a word from our sponsor. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So, as I said before, with me across the way this week is the aforementioned, the man, the myth, the legend, my dad. Dad, welcome back to the show.
Joe, it's great to be back. I'm real excited to be with you today. Your mom and I were real excited to have you come for a visit this weekend, and it's been a lot of fun. It just goes by too fast.
It really does. It really does. So, Dad, we're going to get things rolling with some Atlanta Braves conversation. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Braves' seven-game winning streak ended earlier this afternoon to the Washington Nationals. I know we're not going to talk a lot about that game in general that happened this afternoon, but just kind of talk to me about what you've seen from the Braves as a whole.
Joe, what has really impressed me is the resilience of the team. They're missing, you know, the number one starter is Max Fried, arguably the number two starter,
our friend Kyle Wright,
our kid from Vanderbilt, how I always think of him. Michael Soroka still hasn't really landed in the rotation, and so you got Charlie Spencer Strider and a cast of thousands, yeah, young guys who have all stepped up and been moderately successful. But the Braves line, you know, day in, day out lineup has been terrific. You know, going around the diamond, both the catchers have been really good. Well, you know, had a little D'Arnaud injury problem, but very pleased with the catchers. Matt Olson is up and down, you know. But when he hits it far. Brought a lot of power to the order. I'm wondering if there might be a time to move him down in the order. Arcia has been terrific. He missed a chunk of games injured, but we really like Arcia. And, of course, Austin Riley is a tremendous hitter. Went through a little cold period, but it seems to be coming out of it. The guy in right field might be the best player in Major League Baseball. He's terrific. Center fielder Michael Harris has been, you know, been defensively has been a stellar defender. The bat is starting to come around a little bit, and we got Eddie Rosario who hit the big grand slam last week. So I really have been impressed with the day-to-day lineup, and if the pitchers can just hang in there and hold their own, I think we have a chance to be pretty good. How does it look to you?
Well, from how it looks to me, and so I do want to preface this too. So Thursday night, I was at the Braves-Mets game. Shout out to my boy Nick Quartz. We were at the Braves game Thursday night, sitting out in center field. Had a great time on University of Georgia night, where the Braves had and come back a game for the ages. Braves came back to beat the Mets 13-10. That was one of the loudest, craziest, most epic games I've ever been to inside Truist Park. I guess the only other game that would rival that, Dad, was a game that Allie and I were at back in 2019 against the Marlins. It was a Sunday. Dallas Keuchel was the starter on the mound, where Charlie Culberson made that epic throw from left field falling down, and he made the cutoff throw to the shortstop falling down in midair. I think that's the only regular season game that would rival that atmosphere as far as just like wow factor and comeback. But yeah, I haven't heard Truist Park really that loud. I think honestly, maybe since like a World Series game, or maybe Acuña's grand slam in 18 against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It was so loud and so fun. And you know, as we talk about with this team, it's the never quit with Snit attitude. They always seem to find a way to give you a finish, you know, whether their backs are against the wall or not. And I do want to talk about one of the guys that's starting to come on in the regular everyday lineup, and that's Michael Harris. In that series against the Mets, if you think about it, last Wednesday he had that bunt that really got things going. And then he had a double and then a two-run homer to give the Braves the victory over the Mets Wednesday night. Makes an incredible catch. He's starting to come on a little bit. Are we beginning to see the Michael Harris that we all thought we were going to see at the beginning of the year?
Joe, I hope so. He's a young guy. He had a great introduction last year. He's dealt with some injuries, but he's really, really has the chance to be a terrific everyday player. He already is a terrific center fielder. And if he can just become more consistent offensively, I think we have a terrific player for a long time.
Because I'll tell you another thing about him that I love is his throwing arm is really, really good. Really, really good.
Joe, when you were at the game the other night, you were seated right behind him in center field. What were your impressions watching him up close and personal?
My impressions were of just how fast he is and just how he can cover ground. There were a couple balls that got by him, but I will say seeing him throw the ball from where I was seated up that close was really, really cool. Because he probably one of the strongest arms in Major Baseball. He really, really does.
If he doesn't, that guy over on his left shoulder might.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good segue. So, Ronald Acuña Jr., I mean, what we've seen out of him this year has just been no short of fantastic. He's been arguably the best player in Major League. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I talked about it last week on the pod with Brent Wilson, and we were talking about Acuña. And I just said, the thing that stands out to me the most about him, no matter what he's doing, whether it be with the bat or with the glove, especially when he's up at the plate, I have to stop what I'm doing and watch him. Because we are watching greatness with Mr. Acuña Jr.
He's definitely must-see TV. You know, it's everything. I mean, his defense is so good. Even if he wasn't that good an offensive player, he's just so exciting to watch out in the field. But he is a terrific offensive player, and he does hit the ball. And then he can run the bases.
The stolen base thing is just ridiculous.
It is. I mean, if he just was playing the steal bases, he could steal a lot of bases. You know, he's got to play within the context of the game.
Right, right. Exactly. I've really been impressed with what we've seen from Ronald. Yeah, and it looks like to me that he's really taken some steps forward as far as growth and maturity. We're seeing him really, really hustle. I think having that year, you know, dealing with the ACL, he's really gotten to appreciate how much fun it is to play Major League Baseball.
I think you're right, Joe. Sometimes you have to have something taken away from you before you realize how important it is to you. But he's been terrific this year, and I love watching him play.
I do want to get your thoughts on a couple other position players before we move over to pitchers. I do want to get your thoughts on one Orlando Arcia. Dad, Arcia is the best shortstop in the National
League. Well,
there's no doubt.
He missed a good chunk of time with injuries, but he's played great. His, you know, really love his glove out in the field.
And his throwing arm is so good.
It is.
And I know that was the big question with everybody, is they're like, how is he going to do in the field every day? I will admit, I was one of the proponents that was pro Vaughn Grissom. Didn't think Orlando really had a shot.
Who was that?
Vaughn Grissom.
Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, him in Triple A Gwinnett, which I will say, he's doing really well in Triple A.
Well, good, good. And I hope at some point the Braves can figure out a role for him.
What to do with him. But Arcia's glove and his throwing arm is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I know there were a lot of people out there that were really, really sad about losing a former shortstop here. But to me, it seems like we haven't skipped a beat with Arcia defensively.
I've been very pleased. If Arcia's healthy, he's, you know, we haven't taken a step back at all.
No.
From Swanson. Now, what did blow me away, I guess I attribute this to laziness on behalf of some of the national people that are doing stories, and they, you know, they just go to the big names and saying that Swanson was an all-star candidate, and he may or may well may not be, but he hasn't had near the year that RC has had.
And, no.
And, you know, the national press doesn't realize it, and they'll continue to promote the names that they're familiar with as opposed to who actually deserves it.
So. Exactly. And, you know, going back to Thursday night for a second, and especially because the Braves were still down one run when Arcia came off, and he hits the big home run to left field, which I will say was a couple sections over from me. So when I'll tell you, that's another thing about him. When he gets a hold of one, Arcia can absolutely smash.
Yeah, he's got a quick bat. I really like the fact that he's signed up and going to be, you know, he's on the books for the next couple of years. And, you know, the Braves, in my point of view, are solid at shortstop. With Arcia, we don't need to worry about anybody else in that spot.
And I'll reiterate this again to people and to the podcast world. So back in 2016, Orlando Arcia was the second best prospect in all of minor league baseball in 2016 with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was right there. He was higher rated than Swanson. And you know, Arcia goes to the Brewers, and he even played some center field for a minute, I think, just because the Brewers thought he was so athletic. And then the Braves get him, and he kind of makes his way. But I will continue to say I have loved watching Orlando Arcia play.
I agree completely, Joe, but I do want to ask you about this little thing that people think they can just put shortstops in center field and all over.
Oh, yeah. Like our friends, the Marlins, putting Jazz Chisholm out there?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. I would love to know what the Marlins were thinking with that. I mean,
they weren't.
I mean, to quote our friend Ron Washington from Moneyball, is playing center field really hard as opposed to playing shortstop?
It's very hard.
It's very hard. It's incredibly hard. I don't understand what they were doing. And I also, we'll say this too. The Cincinnati Reds have been notorious for doing this. Remember Nick Senzel, who went to Tennessee, who we saw play in Athens against Georgia back in like 2015, mm-hmm. that frame of time? And he was a fantastic third baseman. And the Reds are like, we're going to move you to center field. And it's like, but he's a big-time third base prospect. And he, I'll tell you what, that draft, when he was coming out, I wanted the Braves to get him. For him to play third base. I thought he was that good over at the Hawk Corner. And they move these athletic third baseman and shortstop to the outfield. And I'm just like, it doesn't always work like that. I mean, just because you're really athletic, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can play, you know, other positions, especially at the major league level.
I completely agree, Joe. I completely agree. But those are the people that are writing the checks. So they're trying to.
But I'll say this, you know, we talked about the Marlins a second ago. Dad, the Marlins are in second place in the National League East.
Well, they're in a soft section of their schedule, but you still got to win the games, and I give them credit for that. They're winning their games.
Are they now the biggest threat to the Braves?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just in a very soft part of their schedule. I think they'll come back down to earth.
Well, let me ask you, Dad. So who, in your opinion, is the biggest threat to the Braves? In the NL East.
Well, after watching the Mets this week, the two $43 million pitchers don't, maybe they just had bad. They don't scare me as much. I think the Phillies have a lot of talent.
I agree.
But they're nowhere close to getting it all together.
And I made that statement a couple pods back ago. You can go back and listen on our Listen Now tab under our episode archives. Where I said the Phillies are the biggest threat to the Braves. I mean, just look at the talent the Phillies have. They can never get it together. You have Noah and Wheeler. I'd much rather have Noah and Wheeler at the front of my rotation than the AARP club pitchers like they have in New York and Verlander and Scherzer. I will say, going back to last Thursday with the Mets, Justin Verlander was human. I will say the Braves did a good job of waiting out at bats and were patient. And if you want to flip it over to the pitchers, from our standpoint, Spencer Strider had an off night against the Mets. I don't know what it is about him and the Mets, but he seems to really struggle against them for some strange reason.
Well, he does. But some of that is, you know, he's we got to always remind ourselves what a young guy he really is.
And like we've continued to say about Spencer, if his fastball isn't on and he's having to use his secondary stuff as much as his fastball, then he's kind of limited in what he can do. I do want to talk to you about a couple other pitchers. One of them being AJ Smith-Shawver, who made his first career start. It's the Washington Nationals Friday night. You and I were hanging out at home watching the game. What were your thoughts on the young 20-year-old?
Well, he has a lot of God-given talent, for sure. You know, it's good. I was impressed with what I saw from him. You know, he's just going to get better and better as he gets more experience. But he certainly has a very strong right arm. What did you see?
What stood out to me was how fluid and easy and repeatable his mechanics and delivery are. He has really, really good stuff. And the crazy thing is, I think he's only thrown 29 innings total. Something like that. I heard that number the other day. And he hadn't really started pitching much since he was a junior in high school. And he was a 4-star quarterback commit for Texas Tech back in the day. And he was a 7th-round draft pick of the Braves. And he, to put some focus into this, Smith-Shawver began the year at a ball in Rome. And is now in Atlanta. He made 2 starts for Double A Mississippi and 1 start for Triple A Gwinnett. So that just goes to show that how talented this kid is. I know the Braves were in dire need of trying to figure out the pitching situation, but I really like what I saw out of Smith-Shawver, and I think he's only going to get better and better. He's only 20. I mean, he's got so much room to grow. I think the sky's the limit. But I did really like what I saw out of the young guy.
It's interesting to think about, but Charlie could be his father.
That is true.
Charlie Morton.
And another older pitcher that I want to get your thoughts about, and you probably knew this was coming. I want to get your thoughts on Jesse Chavez. How does he continue to do this?
Joe, it's lights and mirrors some with Jesse. You know, he does have a lot of guile. He's pitched, obviously, for a long time. And, you know, he's got 12 years of major league experience. But I think he's able to get people out some with just being smart. Now, I've also noticed, and I don't know if it's me being a pessimist, but he has a lot of hard-hit balls that go right at people. And, you know, you'll take the luck that goes with it. But Jesse's been terrific, and you know, we've traded him away and he goes to other teams and he's just an average guy, and he comes back and he puts the A on, and all of a sudden he's a real contributing member of the bullpen. So I don't know.
He really is a modern marvel, I will say that, to watch him pitch. Like, the guy is, I want to say he's like, what, 40, 41, I think?
I think he's still 39, Joe.
39? Okay, 39.
He's coming up on a birthday.
He's coming up on a birthday.
Which will be the big
4-0.
Yeah.
Well, I just know from what I've heard that he's kind of like the leader of the bullpen, so to speak. And from what I've heard from the guys that talk about Jesse, they're all obviously big fans, and apparently his nickname is Coach. They call him Coach. He's kind of the leader of the bullpen, because the bullpen has a good mix of veteran and young guys down there. Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind the job that Jesse Chavez continues to do. I mean, I love it as a Braves fan, obviously. It really is just like a testament to him and just how well he continues to pitch for the Braves.
He's been terrific. He's pitched for 3, 6, 9 different teams, if
goodness,
you can believe that.
Goodness gracious.
He's had a lot of uniforms on, Joe.
Yeah, a lot of different hats in his closet, for sure. So, Dad, where do the Braves go from here? And the schedule turns out like this, Dad. So, this is really bizarre. The Braves have a 3-game series against the Detroit Tigers, Monday through Wednesday. Wednesday being a day game at 1:05, I think. And then they come right back to Atlanta, play a 4-game series with the Colorado Rockies Thursday through Sunday, and then are back out on the road to face the Phillies and the Cincinnati Reds on the road.
Could be fun, Joe, seeing the Reds. You know,
that top prospect,
the Phenom.
What is it, De La Cruz? I think his name is. Dad, so that guy is really cool to watch. He really is. He's kind of like their version of Acuna. Like the left hand, but the left-handed version. Like he's got like all the metrics and stuff. And I saw him. He made his major league debut against the Dodgers last week. And you just see the raw talent of De La Cruz, this guy for the Reds. And it's just like, holy smokes. He's going to be really fun to watch. I know that series against the Reds will be interesting. This will be the Braves' first trip up to Philadelphia. I know Jeff Francoeur, who's the commentator for the Braves, likes to tell stories about the number of cheesesteaks guys can eat. That trip, the thing that concerns me about going there is it is a home run hitter's paradise. It's basically like playing in a glorified Pony League field. That scares me going there. So hopefully the Braves pitchers are able to keep the ball in the ballpark when they're in Philadelphia. It will be kind of interesting to go to Detroit. You know, the Braves haven't really been to Detroit that much. Now, I will say the Braves do go to Lakeland, where the Tigers' spring training home is. They do play the Tigers a ton in spring training. But to go to Detroit, that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, other than Miguel Cabrera, I can't really name any other Detroit Tigers.
Well, it's, you know, that's the upside of this new schedule, is we're going to see people that we're not accustomed to seeing. Yeah, they have Miguel Cabrera, Javi Baez. After you get past that, they don't have too many recognizable names. They do have our old friend Joey Wentz.
Oh, is he in their rotation?
Well, he's on their roster. I don't know.
Okay. That'll be interesting to see. I do want to ask you that. How do you feel about this new schedule in Major League Baseball, the balanced schedule, playing everybody at least once? I think it's cool. I like it.
I like it, Joe. I mean, the division games, there were so many of them that they kind of lost their specialness.
Their value.
Yeah. We'd have games with the Marlins and the Nats, and it just seemed like every time you turned around, you were playing one of them. And,
right.
And they're fine teams, but, you know, after a while, you're ready to see somebody else.
And I will say this, too. Like, you could tell that there was, like, a certain energy, you know, when the Mets came.
Sure.
Big deal that the Mets were here. I will say, I did see a good number of Met fans when I was there Thursday night. There were actually more Met fans than I thought, so props to the Met fan for showing up and rooting on the Mets, despite getting swept. Sweep the Mets. Sweep the Mets. Step right up and sweep the Mets.
All right, Joe, what about, you know, the Mets have struggled here. It appears, if I read this right, that Pittsburgh won the series this weekend.
Good for the Pirates.
What do we think of Buck Showalter? You think he might be in danger?
Well, I heard a comment from everyone's favorite owner, Mr. Monopoly Man himself, Steve Cohen. And Steve Cohen said, everyone's safe for now. But that could change. We'll just see. I'm glad as a Braves fan that they're kind of staying status quo. I'm not really intimidated by Buck Showalter. I'm not really intimidated by what the Mets roster is. It doesn't intimidate me. I mean, really the only player on that roster that is some form of intimidation is Lindor to me. When I look at Alonso is basically a home run or strikeout guy, basically. Starling Marte is kind of old, you know. The Mets are, they just kind of are what they are at this. And they're run by like the Monopoly Man, who's just giving people money like it's the game of Monopoly. That's really why I think if Philly can ever get their ducks in a row, the Phillies are going to be the biggest threat of the Braves in the AL East. But I don't know if the Phillies can do that. Because, I mean, Trey Turner's had a really rough year. Bryce Harper's trying to come back. Rhys Hoskins is done for the year. Alec Bohm's playing first base. I mean, the Phillies are all over the place. But stemming back to the Braves, I still feel like this is the Braves divisional. I think the Braves are in a really, really good spot. They just got to win series, man. I know there's going to be some ups and some downs in a long major league season. You know, we saw that with the Oakland series. I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that the Braves would lose 2-3 to Oakland, I would have said you were crazy. But knowing the way the schedule makers did it, having the Braves play the Sunday night game against Philly when Matt Olson hit a home run that landed in the water, which was just ridiculous a few weeks ago, and then having to go hop aboard a plane and play against the Oakland A's on a 5 o'clock first pitch West Coast time, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. So anyway, all that to say, I feel really good about where the Braves are. I'm excited to play against a team like Detroit. I'm excited to face the Colorado Rockies coming up back home. It's going to be Father's Day weekend. I'm sure there'll be big crowds at Truist Park all weekend long. I do know this. I do know not Charlie Culberson, Charlie Blackman. I'm sorry. Charlie Blackman is hurt. He's dealing with a rib injury. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Mm. So we will not get to see Atlanta's own when he plays against
Charlie Blackman.
Oh, I did it again. Charlie Blackman. We will not see Charlie Blackman when he plays for the Rockies. Dang it. Okay. I just had to say that. We won't see Charlie Blackman playing against the Braves.
Okay. Well, Joe, it's a little ways out, a little premature for me to ask, but I'll go ahead and ask you. We have Bobby Bonilla Day coming up on the calendar.
Oh, boy,
Dad. Do you have any personal traditions, how you celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day?
Well, what I do is I find that YouTube video, the parody video about the Mets. I just watch that and I laugh. At the end it says, "Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody." And I just laugh at that. And that's really how I celebrate Bobby Bo.
And what goes along with that is our friend Brett Saberhagen, the Mets. They don't pay him as much, but they pay him $250,000 a year. For at least this year and then 5 more years after that.
But Brett Saberhagen is rolling in some money.
And he's been receiving it for a long time.
He is absolutely rolling in money. I do want to ask one last baseball thing. And the All-Star game is getting closer and closer. Are you the type of person that stuffs the digital ballot box, so to speak? Or do you just fill out one ballot and just kind of let it... kind of want the chips fall.
I let that one ballot speak for my voice. I kind of am resigned to the fact that there are some people that are trying to stuff it, and they may agree with my point of view and they may not, but I don't want to spend too much of my time. I guess this year, what I feel strongly about is that, you know, in the shortstop thing, I think the All-Star shortstops playing for the Braves, or should be, the guy who should be the All-Star shortstop is playing for the Braves. Beyond that, I think our catcher is...
right up there.
You know, should be a very serious candidate. And the guy in right field, wow. Acuna has had a great year. So that's sort of where I stand with it. I'm, you know, in some ways with the pitchers, I feel almost cheated that considering his age, this should have been a great year for Max and Kyle Wright, and we're not getting the same pitch. Now, I don't know if I'm just trying to convince myself of this so I feel better, but I'd like to think that we're going to get them back healthy and going into the postseason with low mileage on them, and that they might be super effective.
Yeah.
And Soroka, I still don't know. Nobody knows what we've got there. He's, you know, you see flashes of what he can do.
Well, I did see last night for AAA Gwinnett, he had 6 strikeouts in 6 innings. And I will, another pitcher we didn't talk about earlier was Bryce Elder. We were talking about the pitcher. I know he had a tough start today, and I know he had a tough start against the Mets. But all in all, Bryce Elder's been really, really good.
I agree, Joe. I agree. I don't know, every time you say Braves pitching, I'm just hoping that Snitker will, you know, go easy on the bullpen and try and keep from burning it out.
Because we can go back to those in May to the 3 bullpen game, and it was all against American League teams, Seattle, Boston, and Texas. And I'm just like, dude, what are we doing, man?
Yeah, we got to protect those arms.
Absolutely.
He might need to call people up from minor league to eat up some innings, but he doesn't need to be burning up the bullpen.
No doubt about it.
But anyway, we'll trust the Braves to be smart enough to figure
absolutely
that out.
Well, I do want to bring up one last Braves point. How good of a job has Alex Anthopoulos done putting together this club?
Well, the position players, I feel very, very good about where we are in the position players.
Especially Arcia. I mean, who saw that coming?
And then the fact that they have him signed up for a couple more years at a fair rate, that's great. Now the pitching. Max is going through what he's going through. I don't know that they want to run right out there and sign him to a long-term deal. But we really are going to need Max Fried, you know,
absolutely
on a long-term deal. I think they have him for another year.
Yeah.
But I don't think our postseason hopes are really that great without Max and Kyle Wright.
Agree. I mean, could you see the Braves making a move for a starting pitcher? Or do you, does it really all just depend on Fried and Wright?
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I would expect, heading into the All-Star break, that he's trying to bolster the bullpen, you know, which is what every GM does every All-Star break,
yeah,
you know, or trade deadline period. I'd be surprised if they really went out there, you know, hunting a starting pitcher, unless they think that they've done a better job evaluating a talent.
Or somebody that they think they could sign long-term. I know there is the thought, no, this is just me in my own head when I think about stuff. I know Dylan Cease for the White Sox is from Atlanta. And I know that's a guy that I know a lot of Brave fans would be interested in bringing back home, so to speak. I know the White Sox are having a pretty bad year, but I do know Dylan Cease is a really, really good pitcher.
Joe, the other thing that I'd hate for our Brave section of the show to go by, we haven't said the name of, in the month of May, the most productive DH.
Marcell Ozuna.
As bad as he was in April, he's been that good in May.
I think we're both eating some crow after that.
Yeah.
I think we both are.
He's been terrific during the month of May, and then he helped Harris out off the field.
I really like what he told Harris the other night. And I really think Ozuna, being the vet that he is, I think the fact that he went over there and sold Harris what he did about how you're one of the best center fielders in baseball, you need to start playing like it, is basically what he said. I think that shows real maturity from Ozuna. And I know Ozuna's had some very immature moments going into last year and beyond. But, I mean, the fact that Ozuna did that, I think that's invaluable. And that scores major points in my book.
I agree. So, we don't know what's going to happen as the rest of the season plays out. But to this point, Ozuna's had a terrific month of May. Had a terrific month of May and into June. So let's hope he can keep that going. But
no doubt.
I didn't want to pass through the Braves without mentioning that, because we've been a little rough on him in the past.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, Marcell, we're willing to extend an olive branch to you via the Fan for All Seasons podcast. We will send you an olive branch.
Okay.
So here's the deal, Marcell. You keep hitting. We'll keep talking nice.
There you go, Joe.
That is the name of the game. So I do want to ask a couple golf things. We're going to transition from baseball to a little bit of golf. The United States Open is coming up. And I know there's all the drama with Liv and the PGA Tour and Jay Monahan, all that stuff. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the U.S. Open. Give me your thoughts on the U.S. Open this week. And who are some guys you're looking at?
I think John Rahm is really hungry to add to his list of majors, and he's got game. Scheffler, when he gets rolling, boy, he's really tough.
You know, I mean, we saw that at Augusta, straight up.
Yeah. Joe, for our Fan for All Seasons listeners, Joe went up on the 10th tee and told him put the driver back in the bag and just hit the 5-wood, and boy,
yeah,
he ripped it around the corner. I don't know that Scotty heard what Joe said.
No. I don't think he did.
But anyways, Joe and I had a good laugh. But Scotty Scheffler is playing great. I think Rahm and Scheffler have really separated themselves. I'll be very interested to see what Koepka shows up with, if that was just a fluke with the PGA, or if he's really as good as all that. So it'll be interesting to see. How does it look to you?
Well, I think you took the two guys out of my head. I mean, Scotty Scheffler to me is the best golfer in the world right now. I mean, I just feel like whatever he does, it turns to gold, so to speak. It seems like he's always hitting good shots. He's always super aggressive with his drives. His short game is always solid. And he's just a solid, like, relatable dude. And to me, Scotty Scheffler's the best player in golf right now. He just is. And he's a good guy. And he plays hard. He's a big fan of The Office. That's how he kind of chills out when he's not playing golf. I feel like anybody that's a big fan in The Office, pretty cool. I remember when we were at the Masters, I remember muttering under my breath, being like, Scotty, what's your favorite Office episode? Mm-hmm. Or who his favorite character is? Like, that's what I would love to know, being a big Office fan myself. So, Dad, you said that the U.S. Open tournament this week, the Los Angeles Country Club.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that, I mean, obviously that's somewhere in L.A. somewhere.
Obviously, yeah. And one of the big stories this week, Joe, is going to be, it's now 50 years ago, but Johnny Miller, who used to be, you know, NBC's lead analyst, shot a 63 on a U.S. Open course. You know, a 63s happen from time to time, but they don't happen at the U.S. Open because those courses are set up very hard, very challenging. The greens are blazing fast. The rough is, at the U.S. Open, is infamous that if you miss the fairway, it's really hard to make a full shot because you can't get your club on the ball. So you're going to hear a lot of people talking on TV about 50 years ago and Johnny Miller's 63, which was remarkable for that time, and it stood up over the last 50 years. Nobody shoots 63 at a U.S. Open.
That's crazy. It's crazy stuff. Well, Dad, as always, I appreciate you coming on the show this week, talking some baseball, previewing the United States Open. So before we get on out of here, I do want to ask you one last thing. So who do you have winning U.S. Open? You think it's either going to be Rahm or Scheffler?
I do. I think it's going to be Jon Rahm. I think he's really focused on these majors and trying to move up the board, winning majors. He's in his golf prime, and I expect him to show.
Is he your pick and your golf pick this week?
I'm going to probably pick Jon Rahm
this week. You heard it here, folks. It's his first.
And that's not good news for Jon Rahm, because usually I pick him and they have a bad week.
So whatever we do, don't tell Jon Rahm.
Don't tell Jon Rahm.
Don't tell Jon Rahm.
I think the last time I picked him, he ended up having to withdraw.
Oh, gosh.
You only get to pick him twice, and the first time I picked him, I didn't get the benefit of it because he had a health issue. There you go.
Well, Dad, like I said, I really appreciate you coming on the show this week, talking some baseball, previewing the 2023 U.S. Open. Always enjoy your insight and perspective, and we look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's always great to be with you.
And so now, guys, I'm going to tell you about FanFrostSeasons.com. It's our website where you can go, where you can check out our merchandise under the Shop Merch tab. You can check that out. We've got our alternate logo t-shirts in white and black. You can check that out. And you can also listen to our most recent episodes, where this episode will be dropping. And you can go under the Listen Now tab, so check that out. You can also read up more on how FanFrostSeasons came to be. This is year number 5 of the show, so you can kind of see how the beginnings of the pod came to be. And if you like this podcast, if you want to know more about us, you can find us on any major podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a follow. Any major podcast platform, Fan for All Seasons, you can find us. So it's time to get one last word from our sponsor this week, guys. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So for my dad, this has been Jam and Joe, and this has been another exciting installment of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. And we'll talk to you on either Thursday or Friday. See ya. Go Braves. Go Dawgs.